Before I begin, I need to acknowledge that the sermon today was largely written by Pastor Kirk, and I embellished it with some other thoughts I found online and a few of my own. You'll probably be able to tell my contributions, starting with this sports analogy. I like to watch football, and there are several teams I follow very closely, including the one that beat Michigan State yesterday. Sorry to my Michigan State friends in the congregation. But when you're a fan of any team, football or otherwise, you ultimately end up riding the ups and downs that come along with the wins and losses. And when your team loses badly, it hurts as a fan. But then you think how the players must feel. What is it like to put in hours and hours of preparation, months of conditioning and training, long nights of film study, and any time left over to create strategies and game plans for your opponent, only to have that opponent soundly defeat you on the field? How do you get back on the horse and play that next game? In watching player and coach interviews from the many teams that have lost badly that I follow, I started to note a common response that many of them give when they're asked, what are they going to do to move forward? And the response usually goes something like this. We need to continue to work hard together and to get better every day, to be better tomorrow than we were today. And there's many things that you can take from that kind of response. There's courage in there, courage to move forward despite the uncertain future and the recent stinging loss. There's hope in there, hope for a better future and a better outcome, and faith. Faith in the path that they are on and the plans that they are made are the right ones. Our church has gone through a lot over the last few years. Dissent among congregants, loss of members, lack of vision, financial troubles, to name a few. And it might seem as though we are slowly and painfully going down, down, down. How do we find the courage to move forward? How do we have a hope for a better future? How can we keep up our faith? And now for the dreaded sports analogy, is St. Paul's working together to be better tomorrow than we were yesterday? Or to be better next Sunday than we were this Sunday? We have our vision now, we have our plan, and we are working towards making our building safer and more beautiful and more flexible and more welcoming. And we have a worship service that has a little something for everyone, at least I like to think so. This week's Bible reading from Isaiah comes at a devastating time. The land was destroyed and a people returning to try to start something new. I read that some call this passage the Isaiah apocalypse. But there's hope coming from the prophet Isaiah. There's hope for something new. A new city, new homes, new farms, a new peace without destruction. From a hopeless situation, there's hope and encouragement. Encouraging words of hope for something wonderful on the horizon. Of course, we can come together on things that we agree about. It's just finding those things or issues that's so difficult. And when we find them, it seems like we really can't agree about how to address the issues, only that we need to do something about them. We can't get past the things that divide us to do something good together. And people who have endured devastation need immediate and long-term help. I do dream about the kind of unity I hear in the last line of our Filled with Hope Bible reading this morning. And it goes, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. I can recognize how ridiculous that is. Wolves and lambs don't feed together. One of them eats the other. But this verse looks towards a time when the ridiculous happens. Look, I'm as guilty as anyone with thinking that my agenda in these situations is the right one. I can't stand it when I encounter ideas that I'm sure aren't only not helpful, but will make things worse. And then I think of those I might imagine to be wolves, lambs, lions, and oxen, and I dream and hope that we can find a common ground to work together for good. I know that can't promise a new day and a new hope to everyone who is in dire straits. I can't fix what's wrong, but I do believe that we look forward in hope at St. Paul's UCC. We've been continuing to live into God's vision for St. Paul's as we continue to be the church, a caring community of Christ, a people of prayer and action, a beacon of hope, justice, and peace. How do you think we're doing? How are we going to continue to live into, love into God's vision? We've been talking on and off about being a more welcoming, inclusive, supportive, and engaged congregation for mental health. We can take a journey together as a congregation and decide to become a wise congregation. Kirk has a challenge for us with that. He's been talking about it now for about 3 years. And now he's heading up a committee for the Illinois Conference to present a resolution at the next conference meeting in June of next year for our conference to designate itself as WISE, that is, welcoming, inclusive, supportive, and engaged conference for mental health. So he has a challenge for us to do that for St. Paul's before June, and I'm sure you'll hear more from him about that in the coming weeks. We even have a guidebook for how to get that done. But do we have the desire? I think we can do it. It's about continuing to widen the welcome. Bad things happen in the world, in the community, and at a personal level. God doesn't promise that the challenges and hard times in our lives or in our churches are over, or that nothing devastating will ever happen again. But I believe looking forward in hope is going to help us courageously experience with our hearts and with our minds God's extraordinary and unconditional love. What else can we do? Well, we can be the church in every way and get better at doing it each week. We can come to coffee hour after our service today and listen to me talk some more about our 5-year plan. We can help keep our beacon of hope shining. That's a metaphor for keeping the lights on. By contributing to our church life with our time, our talents, and our treasures. Everyone can find a way to help. P.S., did I mention that we're doing a cleanup after coffee hour? Okay, it'll be short. More importantly, we can support, comfort, nurture, and encourage each other in our life journeys and our faith journeys. Carol asked for people to help organize more opportunities to have fellowship. And having fellowship is where we can learn to help each other along our paths. We can try hard not to think of it's us and them. I think it has to be no us and them. But instead an authentic realization that we are all God's children. And we can communicate to all a sense of urgency about the need to go out and welcome and invite people to St. Paul's. I think that God's extravagant welcome is ridiculous. It goes against what we would call good judgment. But I am convinced that it is absolutely necessary. That's why we need to continue to widen our welcome and to look to the future with hope and to work together each week to be better. As Michigan football coach Jim Harbaugh likes to say, who's got it better than us? Nobody. We've got a great church family. We have a vision and a plan. We have a beautiful building and an awesome location. And we have God's extravagant, ridiculous welcome. Illogically and ridiculously, with love and justice, let's participate in a life-changing, world-changing ministry. The possibilities in front of us are infinite. Amen.